In 1997, a watershed moment in human history occurred when IBM's Deep Blue supercomputer defeated world chess champion Garry Kasparov. This wasn't just another chess match. It represented the culmination of decades of work to build a machine that could outthink the greatest human minds in a domain considered the pinnacle of intellectual achievement. Chess, with its perfect balance of clarity and complexity, had become the ideal testing ground for artificial intelligence.
The rules are simple enough to program, yet the game's depth is staggering. More possible chess positions exist than atoms in the observable universe.
What made this confrontation so fascinating was the fundamental difference in approach. Kasparov relied on intuition, pattern recognition, and strategic understanding, while Deep Blue calculated 200 million positions per second with relentless precision. The match captivated global attention precisely because it forced us to confront profound questions. What happens when machines begin to outperform us at tasks we consider uniquely human?
And how might we adapt to a world where silicon increasingly outthinks carbon?
Have you ever wondered why computers struggle with tasks humans find effortless, yet excel at problems we find difficult? This paradox defines the human-machine chess rivalry. Grandmasters don't evaluate every possible move systematically. They use pattern recognition to identify promising candidates before calculation. During competition, the human mind wanders. Mikhail Tal once described how his thoughts drifted to extracting a hippopotamus from a marsh while contemplating a knight sacrifice. These digressions sometimes cause blunders, but can also produce brilliant paradoxical moves that systematic analysis wouldn't discover. Machines have none of these psychological limitations. They don't get tired, nervous, or demoralized after mistakes. Early chess programs evaluated positions primarily by counting material values, while humans only do this as novices. The breakthrough came with algorithms that allowed programs to rapidly prune weak moves, enabling deeper searches and promising variations. By the mid-1990s, machines were ready to challenge the world champion.
Chess reveals profound truths about human psychology under pressure. As a competitive sport, it generates tension comparable to physical sports. Players endure extreme nervous fluctuations for hours, creating an emotional roller coaster that exhausts even composed competitors. Recovery from defeat is particularly challenging because there are no external factors to blame. A loss means you simply failed. This psychological dimension becomes one-sided when humans face computers. Machines don't experience confidence, dejection, fatigue, or distraction, like playing basketball against an opponent who never tires. Grandmaster strength computers have transformed how humans play against each other. Young players trained with super strong engines develop differently than previous generations. These machines, free from prejudice and dogma, have created a generation approaching chess more mechanically. Problems arise when databases and engines transform from coach to oracle, with students claiming moves are best without understanding why, becoming lost without their digital crutch when fundamentals aren't grasped.
Facing a world champion-level chess machine isn't like playing a video game. It's direct competition against a computer at the highest level of human intellect. Media coverage of the Deep Blue matches featured dramatic headlines like "The Brain's Last Stand" and "Kasparov Defends Humanity," with comedians nervously joking about machines taking human jobs. In Game 1 of the 1996 match, I resigned on move 37, becoming the first world champion defeated by a computer in a classical game. But in Game 2, I exploited the machine's inability to form strategic plans by using a slow, maneutering opening that denied it clear targets. I ultimately won the six-game match 4-2. Despite minimal initial publicity, the match became the largest internet event in history at that time, remarkable for 1996, when most people used dial-up. While the Deep Blue team was disappointed, IBM was thrilled. the publicity boosted IBM's stock by $3.31 billion in just over a week, modernizing the company's image and virtually guaranteeing a rematch.
The 1997 rematch revealed IBM's shift from scientific collaboration to competitive hostility. Project manager CJ Tan declared, "We're not conducting a scientific experiment anymore. This time, we're just going to play chess." IBM occupied multiple floors of Manhattan's Equitable Center with extraordinary security. The new Deep Blue processed 200 million positions per second, twice its previous speed. Game 1 was the most anticipated chess match since Fischer-Spassky in 1972. I opened with knight to f3 as an anti-computer strategy. Deep Blue counterattacked, but overestimated its position by exchanging queens, leaving itself no path to improvement. I'd beaten the computer at its own calculating game. In Game 2, Deep Blue displayed remarkable positional understanding. I played passively and later resigned when Deep Blue attacked my queen, only to discover the position was actually drawn. My team found that perpetual check would have saved the game, marking my first ever resignation in a drawn position. Game 6 set unwanted records: my shortest career loss, first classical match defeat, and the first time a machine defeated a world champion in a serious match. Deep Blue sacrificed its knight, exposing my king to overwhelming threats. I resigned in less than an hour. Deep Blue never played again. IBM had achieved its goal: a massive PR boost and an $11.4 billion stock value increase in just over a week.
After my defeat, I returned to chess, while Deep Blue's team disbanded, having proven their point: faster machines would inevitably beat human champions. As competition ended, collaboration became the new frontier. In 1998, I created Advanced Chess in Spain, pairing humans with chess computers as partners. When PlayChess hosted a freestyle tournament in 2005, the winners weren't grandmasters with powerful computers, but amateurs using three computers simultaneously. Their superior coordination process outperformed both stronger computers alone and stronger humans with inferior processes. This demonstrated Kasparov's law: weak human plus machine plus better process beats strong human plus machine plus inferior process. After decades of trying to replace human intelligence with algorithms, companies now recognize the value of human minds in data analysis. Like chess programs that evolved from brute force back toward knowledge, process is key, and that's something only humans can design.
The singularity, a tipping point beyond which super intelligent machines make human history incomprehensible, has various interpretations, from apocalyptic fears to utopian visions of genetically and nanotechnologically enhanced humanity. MIT's Andrew McAfee identifies the biggest AI misconception: the hope or fear that superintelligence is right around the corner. Machine learning expert Andrew Ng likens this concern to worrying about overcrowding on Mars. While long-term AI risks deserve consideration, immediate issues warrant our focus. New technologies typically bring growing pains that prove less significant than initially feared. Pessimism hinders progress more than optimism does. The more people believe in a positive technological future, the likelier we'll create one. Our technology eliminates difficulties, driving us to seek greater challenges. It can liberate our creativity and enhance our humanity. We have purpose, while machines have instructions. Machines cannot dream, yet we need intelligent machines to realize our grandest dreams. If we stop dreaming big, we may as well be machines ourselves.